Hi, this is Phil Hendry, and all of the voices, all the characters, all of the different people that you'll hear on the show today, all of those voices, all of those characters will be performed by me. Do you understand? Okay, never mind.
And yes, it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and this is Margaret Gray. And here is General Shaw, one of the voices that Phil is...
Oh, come on, Margaret, give it a rest, will you?
Performing.
This is General Galen Shaw with Bud Dickman and Robert Lennon. Here's Mr. Hendry.
Phil Hendry.
You know, one of the voices that you're performing is you.
Mark, would you rather I not say anything about it?
No, it's just that I want people to know that it is a little debilitating and humiliating and it's debilifying. There's a word there. I don't know what it is.
It is, it's dehumanizing.
No, it starts with a B. It's
debubula.
No, it's not debubula. Don't be ridiculous.
But what is debubula?
I didn't say debubula. Can we turn this? What is this trash?
House of Pain.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Welcome, folks, to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you, House of Pain. And
now, those kids are supposed to be Irishmen, right?
Well, they're not really. They're from, I think, they're New Yorkers, but I think they're all from, I think they're of Eastern European extraction or something.
What does that mean?
In other words...
I thought this House of Pain, but they're talking about being Irish.
They're not Irish. They're... Never mind. Welcome to the program, folks, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, well, if you don't want to deal with it...
Ms. Ray, it's not that important.
Well, Robert, I would think it would be important, given the fact that this is music, the integrity of which has been first forged by the African-American people. Now, if...
Never mind, Margaret, please.
Fine.
Welcome to the show, folks. Today's Monday. It is the 24th, I think, here of July, as we get into now. We're going to have... today's the 25th, excuse me. It's Monday.
Damn, Stan, you said you don't want to keep carving up the date.
You're right, bud. Thank you. I don't want to carve the date up. Let's see, where was I?
It's Monday the 25th.
Yeah, it's Monday the 25th. Today is the first day of the Democratic Convention, and there has been news, I would say. It's a little uncomfortable for Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Well, yes, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the Democratic National Convention Committee Chairwoman person, or the National Convention Direction of the... It is the National Convention...
The National...
No, you don't have to do it.
The Democratic National Convention Chairperson.
Yes. What has happened within the last 24 to 48 to 72 hours, news has erupted of a type that I think it could be possibly devastating for the Democratic National Convention and the committee.
Right, the Democratic National Convention Committee.
Never mind, will you? You guys, every time you get into this stuff, you butcher it beyond recognition.
Yeah, but General's right, sir.
All right. So...
So, in other words, what has happened is there were computers that were hacked, most likely by the Russians, because I believe they had determined that the Russians had hacked these computers. A month later, the information turns up that the DNC has done this and that.
What specifically was it determined?
Well, she monkeyed around with the Bernie Sanders... The whole program against Bernie Sanders was being directed from the Democratic National Committee. That is dirty pool. You have to be objective. And they're claiming, anyway, that that was not the case.
Yeah, so another Bernie Sanders might have had a chance.
You tell me you like Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, I like Bernie. Everybody liked Bernie Sanders. Everybody knows that he'd be the best one. No, that's... What do you mean everybody knows? Bernie Sanders is Bernie Sanders.
Everyone, anybody that knows anything knows that he'd be the best one.
Well, where did you get that, bud? Because I'm a Hillary Clinton fan, you know.
Well, up there, there you go. Speak for yourself.
I think what you're looking for is if the shoe fits, right?
Yeah.
So in other words, you're insulting me, so...
Hey, like to reach across me.
You missed me,
So...
I never touched him. I want the record to show.
Yeah, well, you could have.
He hit his own hand on the table.
All right, Margaret, we understand. So, what's the deal here, then? Debbie Wasserman Schultz is out.
She's out. She's been told to get lost. She was told to pack her bags and be out of the office within a half hour. She had to pack boxes. She was told to get out. There was security standing there.
You're kidding.
Yes, of course I'm kidding. I don't know.
Will you give us the straight scoop here?
I know that she's resigned.
Well, she's resigned, but that is not effective till Friday. Will she show her face in the convention hall? That is a major question. And as of Sunday night, she was walking around like, you know, for God and man, acting as if, she, you know, it didn't smell coming out or...
All right, so she's walking around the convention, and she basically looks like she's going to be addressing the convention.
Exactly.
All right, now what... I guess they want her to, right?
No, they want her to, but they don't want her to.
All right, what does that mean?
It means that they want her to if she wants to.
No, what it means is she's insisted on being heard, even though she's butchered this whole process up. I mean, you got to understand here, General. I mean, I'm sure you do.
What does that mean? You're sure he does, don't I?
Margaret, you're biased in favor of Hillary Clinton, which means you're biased in favor of Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah, you're in favor of Waterman Schultz.
Waterman?
Wasserman Schultz.
I'm in favor of whatever gets Hillary Clinton elected, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, this isn't going to get her elected. This is going to get her burned to the ground with this Wackerman Schultz, whatever the hell the name is.
Wasserman Schultz. So here's what I think is happening. There's a perception by Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee that this is not as bad as it is. So they think, well, you know, we'll kick her out of there. She's, you know, we'll have Donna Brazile take over. I don't know if Donna Brazile is actually going to be gaveling anything in. I think Donna Brazile is going to be the chairperson, but they're going to have somebody else at the convention.
Well, what's that mean, Lieutenant?
And just that's what they're going to do.
Well, they're not going to have Donna Brazile up on the platform.
It could be on account of she's black. Well, then again, they're Democrats. They don't mind those people.
What do you mean those people, man? But,
come on.
One of these days, man.
Yeah, all I said was...
That's, Bud, I'm going to kill you myself. I'm going to save everybody here the problem. I'll just kill you myself if you keep it up.
All I'm trying to do is have a couple of laughs.
Look, Bud, don't have your laughs that way.
So... I believe that she's up there because she wants to be. Hillary Clinton's backing that play. She's done a lot of work, and she thinks she's entitled to be there. And I think, you know, if you're somebody that, you know, if you look at this thing objectively, not only is she not entitled to be there, she ought to be driven out of Philadelphia, you know.
What, with a limousine?
You're so funny, Bud.
Yeah, Bud, go ahead. Give it to us again, will you?
A limousine?
Well, I'm just trying to...
Hey, why don't you shut up?
Shit.
Oh, are you going to go ball now?
I'm just trying to make a couple of jokes.
Well, you don't even know when to make a joke, man. She's being pushed out of town. Driven out of town by a limousine. And not only that, your timing sucked.
That was...
Okay, go ahead, bud.
She's being driven out of town by a limousine.
Ha, ha, ha.
Wait a minute. Wait. I got a better... Our laugh machine.
Cut it out.
Yeah, but do the laugh machine.
Oh, Phil, that's a cruel joke.
No, here it is.
Shut up!
Better put some gasoline in, Phil.
You're right.
Okay, so wasn't that funny?
Oh, quit with the fake crying, will you, bud?
All right, so Debbie Wasserman Schultz should be, in my opinion, told to get out of town and don't ever let the door hit your ass again, or however that's said.
Don't darken our sheets again.
That's it, don't darken... Ow! I ran the chair over my own foot.
Nice move there, brains. Good Lord.
Not to say you ran the chair over your own foot. That's kind of like that Monty Python bit where the twit drove himself over with his own car.
The what?
It's a good bit.
Drove himself over?
Yeah, he drove himself over with a car.
The whole room just went dead on that, Robert. Nice job.
But he ran himself...
We get it, Robert.
All right. Now... So that's what I think. And,
you know, so she butchered it up. How?
Because she was messing with the process.
All right. So in that sense, yes, I would agree with you.
Yeah. Now you, Margaret, you think differently.
Yes, I think differently. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is one of the, probably the only reason, or one of the foremost reasons, or one of the many reasons, whichever way you want to look at it, but she's part of the reasons, or she is the reason. I don't know which. There was an old actor, by the way, his name is Rex Reason. I'm not trying to make a joke. Frank knew Rex Reason.
Yeah?
Forget it.
What the... And,
Oh, my God, Phil, you went...
Here, Terry.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, what?
You went for what reason?
What has that got to do with anything?
The reasons are plain. There's Rex. I'm kidding.
I'm going to do traffic now.
Phil, wait a minute. I believe that Debbie Wasserman Schultz has put in a great many hours of time with the Democratic National Committee that she deserves at least to be heard.
What she did behind the scenes was a killer. What she did behind the scenes, she's supposed to be objective and she wasn't. She was helping the Hillary Clinton campaign. She was hindering the Bernie Sanders campaign. She was not acting as the objective support for these campaigns, but she was trying to steer the process. It was unconscionable. It was uncalled for. It's given Donald Trump a propaganda value, a propaganda material, the value of which, you know, God knows what you could possibly. What the hell is that, bud?
It's proud of me. It's it's hops in.
Oh, okay. Well, it's nice, because we're going to be doing traffic here in just a moment.
Take you to the tribe.
But anyway, that's what I'm saying. And so, forget it, man. All right, let's go over to traffic. Now we have Bob Bacon. Bob?
Hey, Billy, up on the freeway. We're just taking a look here now, right now. We're going to try to get a handle on this. But there's a couple of thrillers out cop on it. The police are out there right now. They're going to try to get them out. To Ohio right now. Let's do California. See if you got that. If you got that, you're going to treat that probably about till 9 o'clock this morning. Go to the sky, boy.
I'm in Bob. I'm in San Sebastian. We have that same band, and we love the same Bernardino. The click on to the crest of the Romulan Empire. I hope they wrecked that, because I don't even know what it
is. I don't know
what that means. Yep, that's right. Well, that was Boyd's baby swing pin. Oh, the better walk the way on, Nana. Lana, but the go to, yeah, ta, ta, ta. Oh, ha, 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 ha.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, mesmerizing, says the New York Daily News. Almost a spectacular view of the endlessness of time, says the Daily News. You, me, baby makes three, says the Chicago Tribune. You must see Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a new play by Irvin Exgeil. Debbie Wasserman Schultz explores the outer regions of consciousness, takes you into the interior of the mind. Yes, the journey into the center of the mind. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, an existential feel-good journey, says Mickey Rooney. Yeah! Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a science fiction thriller like none other. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, now playing. Hey, everybody, this is Bob Bacon with the traffic of morning. I want to tell you what's happened. You've got your flan, but you had it what? Well, I'll tell you, if you haven't had your flan yet, you've got it in the pen, and there's a great thing happening with the trade. If you can be out there with the Broadman, and I'll be there too, I'll see you on May the 3rd. That'll be May the 3rd. That's next year of the Quadratine and Ovaltine Pride. So we'll see you out the May the 3rd if you haven't, and I'll be there with Boyd Sky Baby Sweet Handles and the Cassandra for the Sky Boy, and of course, me, Bob Bacon, with Adel Burian. All right, you're not saying we'll have the traffic for you too. The upshot of that is going to be glad. Bob Bacon on May the 3rd next year. Write it down, circle it on the calendar. Then throw it away. We'll remind you. Don't worry about it. Well, that was Boyd Sky Baby Sweet Tan. You know, I've always wanted to do this.
Hey, lousy boom.
Kid hit me in the nose. God, that hurt.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. And we back. And don't forget, of course, to get your year-long subscription to the Phil Henry Show website. That's a year-long subscription to the Phil Henry Show website. And that gets you this month of July, it gets you the all of our best of digital downloads, right? All of the best of CDs, the digital downloads of the best of CDs. And it also gets you a $25 gift card from Amazon. So we're paying you to become family members, to be members of our little team, our little group, our little love fest here. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. A backstage pass, because why do we do the show? Because we have to, because we must, because it is what I am, and I am what I is, and that's where it's at. All right, Harvey Wireman or Montel, I know we have Bob Green on the line.
Well, I think Bob Green might be very interesting. I'd like to talk with Bob Green only because I know that he's been sort of chomping at the bit about this Montel Williams story for quite some time, and Bob Green does join us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Hello, Bob, how are you?
Very good, Margaret. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about what you saw on television, what you heard about having to do with Montel Williams and Bill O'Reilly.
Well, what happened was this. I'm watching television, and I see Bill O'Reilly promo that Montel Williams is going to be on, and the next thing you know, he's not going to be on. He just wasn't there. So Montel Williams posted a Periscope, which I thought was way out of bounds. He said that Bill O'Reilly invited him on the show, and then changed, I guess, what it was he was going to be on the show about. So I guess Montel Williams had an understanding that you know, there'd be a certain conversation that wasn't going to be had.
Yeah, that's my understanding, too. So, no.
Well, that's good, Robert, but I'm not really...
Well, I think Robert needs to jump in with that if it's some information we don't have.
Well, I understand that, Phil, but Robert's black, Montel Williams is black, you see what I'm saying? So you're already sort of ganging up on the white guys.
Hey, look, Green, don't turn it into white plaque, all right? What's your problem?
I'm not turning it into anything, I'm just saying.
What you are saying is, I don't think, pertinent to the conversation.
All right, well, who am I talking to, Phil? You? Margaret?
You're talking to all of the audience.
I'm saying the following thing. Montel Williams was going to be on the Bill O'Reilly show, and then Bill O'Reilly changed what the topic was going to be, and Montel Williams decided not to do it. Bill O'Reilly, I think rightfully so, called him a coward, and Montel Williams then goes on a Periscope, whatever the hell that is, and says, hey, you know, the guy called me a coward, and I think he's a bum and a coward, and I was in the Army for 20 years. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I think was not right and not fair. And the only reason why I said I didn't want to hear about, you know, I didn't want to hear from Robert is I didn't want to make sure that the black guys weren't going to gang up on the white guys.
You know something, Green? I've been listening to you for many years. You have a very racial bent to what you say.
Excuse me, General, but no, I don't.
Yes, you do. You just said this gang up on the white guys ganging up on the black guys or vice versa.
I said the black guys ganging up on the white guys, and that's what was taking place here.
Well, you were coming on here and taking O'Reilly's side.
But you were coming on here.
Well,
hey, Bob, look, I invited you on it. You said you had something you wanted to say about this. So don't start with your satire and you're mimicking me or mocking me or whatever it is. You said that you had this story.
And I just told you the story. You tell me it wasn't interesting?
Yeah, but so Bill O'Reilly called him a coward. Why can't he say he's a coward back?
I've admired Bill O'Reilly for many years. I think he's one of the great commentators of all time. And for this guy, Montel Williams, to say he's been in the Army 20 years, Montel Williams has had, and forgive me for saying this, doesn't Montel Williams have multiple sclerosis or muscular sclerosis?
He's got multiple sclerosis.
That's it, yeah. That hardly makes him a formidable foe for Bill O'Reilly if Bill O'Reilly got angry enough to want to start to, you know, throw some hands.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. You really have got to be kidding.
Why?
You're saying that this is going to devolve into a fist fight, into some kind of fisticuffs.
Let me tell you something, Green. This has got nothing to do with fisticuffs. This has to do with Montel Williams calling this guy out.
I don't think it's fair that you're here, General. You're in the Army.
I'm not in the Army anymore. I'm a retired... Oh, man.
Bob, so you had a problem with Montel Williams defending himself after Bill O'Reilly called him a coward. What's wrong with that?
I think that Bill O'Reilly gave Montel Williams the shot to come on the show, and at the last minute, he had to change his mind and change up the topic. And I think it's very wrong of him to come on and to say, no, I don't want to be on the show. Naturally, Bill O'Reilly's going to call him a coward.
No, not naturally. Not naturally at all. Bill O'Reilly can just say, you know what, I did change up the topic on this guy, and he's not on. It's probably not fair of me. He wasn't prepared, you know.
Oh, yeah, right. That makes him look like he's sucking up to the...
Suck it up to the what?
Yeah, what are you going to say?
Hold on, Robert, now. Hold on.
Why can I say anything?
Just because,
suck it up to a black guy. And...
Bob, you are one of the most odious asses that has ever been on this program. I really mean that.
Yeah, even though I like you, Mr. Green, you're an odious ass.
Oh, my God, you're calling me a racist.
Yeah, I'm calling you a... Why wouldn't we call you that? He's sucking up to the black guy.
I'm saying that with the stuff the way it's been... Look, Phil, you know about Black Lives Matter and what they've done with all of the stuff they've been doing.
With all the stuff they've been doing? Bob, don't turn this into one of those shows.
I'm simply saying that when Bill O'Reilly stands up to... And I'm not saying that Montel Williams is Black Lives Matter, but he might as well be in the environment that we're in.
Yeah, so what are you saying? He's got to step to call him a coward?
If he doesn't, it looks like O'Reilly's sucking up to BLM, and you don't want to be, you know, what BLM is. That's the...
Black Lives Matter?
Yeah. Have you heard about that?
Have I heard about what?
Everybody's calling it BLM now.
Oh, wow. Bob, you know...
You know, I should have known better than to come on your program, which really treats its guests like walking garbage. I might as well be just a lump. I might as well be just congealed fat and candy and garbage around a plastic bag with two legs on it. Walking around... I'm just garbage walking around looking for a can that will accept me.
You know what? I think you're drunk.
I'm not drunk. I'm telling you that Bill O'Reilly...
Bill O'Reilly told him that he wanted him to come on the show. Then when he came on the show, he changed the topic on him. Montel Williams naturally said, wait a minute, I wasn't prepared for that topic. I didn't know that you were going to talk about that. I don't want to do your show now. Maybe he smelled some kind of an ambush. Maybe he smelled something like, you know, he has every right in the world to say, I'm not going to be a party to this. He said no, and O'Reilly called him a coward.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Just not being a coward, he's just saying that it's the thing he wants to do.
You see, Bill, or what's your name?
My name is Bob. Oh, man.
Bob, I'm sorry. You see, Bob, what we're saying is that you're an idiot.
I'm an idiot. You know, if I could hang up.
You're the one that called us. All right, and as far as Montel Williams having muscular, multiple sclerosis, what has that got to do with anything?
I think Montel Williams owes Bill O'Reilly an apology because Bill O'Reilly was giving him a shot to be on TV, even though he's got this, you know, multiple dystrophy or whatever it's called.
It's called multiple sclerosis, you idiot.
I'm going to remember that, General, okay? The next time, well, you don't even own a business. The next time I think about the Army, I'm going to remember you.
I hope you do. I hope you remember me because I was out there hanging my ass out in the breeze while you were oiling your cucumbers or whatever you do.
Oh, man. So that's a sexual reference, right?
No, isn't that what you guys do?
We don't oil cucumbers anymore, no. No, we don't.
So what do you think is the solution to this?
I think...
Wait a minute, Phil. What solution? There is no problem, so there doesn't need to be a solution.
I think there is a problem, and the problem is that Montel Williams disrespected Bill O'Reilly, one of the great broadcasters of all time, and I think he should apologize, even though I know he won't.
And Bill O'Reilly ought to apologize to him for calling him a coward.
What? I told you. We got to stick together on this one, Phil. You got the blacks out there.
Goodbye.
Oh, now you're going
to... What happened to that guy? No, there's nothing's happened to him. He's been that way the whole time. He's been that way as long as we've known him.
Now, how come we always have him on the show?
Because 90% of the time he's talking about some kind of employment stuff. It's got nothing to do with race.
He's also a terribly sexist man. He's always talking about, you know, putting up posters of himself in the women's bathroom where the eyes move as you go back and forth. And
yeah, well, I heard about that. Yeah, all right. Well, thanks a lot, Bob, for an utterly meaningless visit. I think
No, but what is it?
Yeah, all I heard was a very brief description.
What it was that Bill O'Reilly had invited...
Mr. Andy, how come you're looking at General Shaw when I'm asking you?
Because General Shaw is the guy that is totally in the dark about this, if you don't mind, Bud.
Bud, let it alone.
Yeah, but I mean...
Oh, take it easy, man.
He's talking... Will you look at Bud, then, okay, while you say this? Okay, Bud, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, but you're thinking about the General...
What I'm gonna...
Hey, come on! I'm only kidding!
Oh, yeah. Let go of him. Here's what I'm saying. Bill O'Reilly invited Montel Williams on his show. I had no idea, and to this day, I don't know what it was about. When Montel Williams got to the studio, or whatever, when he got on the phone, however it's going to be, when they get the camera in front of him, he said, you know what? I want to talk to you about something else. This is according to Montel Williams.
Yes, this was on the Periscope that Bob Green's referring to.
Bob Green's on the phone.
What?
Bob Green's on the phone.
Yeah, Bob.
Oh, you're going to talk about me with me not even being there. Oh, my God.
I'm telling people about what this is about. This is just, I'll leave you on the line if you'll just... Come on, Bob, just let me hear what this is about.
Okay.
When he got to the studio or whatever it was, Bill O'Reilly...
Hold on. Hello? Yeah, no, I'm on the Phil Henry show.
Get him out of here.
He's calling back.
Just put him on hold, then. Bill O'Reilly asked Montel Williams to come on his show.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
What am I doing here, Bud? I can hear you, okay?
Bud, let me take the call. Bill, I'm sorry, Bob. I'm thinking of Bill O'Reilly, so when I... Yes. It's Margaret. Yes.
Can I... May I do something here?
I'm sorry. We gotta call you back. Yeah.
If the phone rings, don't answer it.
Yes, sir.
When Bill O'Reilly... Bill O'Reilly wanted to have Montel Williams on his show. And there... What are you doing?
I'm sorry, he said don't answer it.
What the...
Hello? Yes, right.
Bill O'Reilly, what...
Wrong person?
I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to kill someone. Goodbye. Phil Embry, show me right back. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Lenny Poo tan here. We've got the greatest gyms available. We've got tanning salons, and they're available to you right now. I know you got a very busy schedule. Come into Lenny Poutan's.
Lenny Poutan's in the harbor.
Lenny Poutan's has tanning beds. We've got all the latest Nautilus equipment. We've got springboards. We've got all of the bicycle and helmet equipment you need, and also the curling and all that stuff that you see in the big heavy things that you lift up.
You mean weights?
Yes, weights.
Lenny Poutan's in the harbor.
Lenny Poutan's has, well, all that shit. Lenny Poutan's has all of the aerobic classes, dance classes, tiptoe classes, and the latest spinning and Pilates too. Plus, we now feature the brand new hopscotch program. It's a gas.
Lenny Poutan's in the harbor.
I'm Lenny Poutan. I'll help you get in shape.
Lenny Poutan's open from 9 until 5. Make sure you bring your custom greeting card and your hat. Nobody is allowed without a snorkel. No nose is allowed after 9 p.m. Put on your clown nose and put on your clown makeup and come to Lenny Poutan's.
In the harbor.
Mr. Whiskey Liquor Stores, all over town. We feature the very finest champagnes, all of the great bottled gins and juices that you've come to know. And Mr. Whiskey's is now opening in Van Nuys with 5 different locations right on Van Nuys Boulevard. You'll never miss out at Mr. Whiskey's. We have mixers. We have soft drinks. All the beers, imported and domestic. Mr. Whiskey's. Think of us as your one-stop location for every kind of juice you need. If you've got a belly up and you've got a party going, you want people who really want to get sapped and fast, come to Mr. Whiskey's. Mr. Whiskey's Liquor Emporiums. 5 new stores within 3 blocks of each other on Van Nuys Boulevard.
And our new location in Orange County.
Where's that? We're not saying. I'm only kidding. It's in Orange County. Well, I can't pin it down any better than that. We haven't decided where we're going to put it. Actually, it's built, but no one's telling me where it is. And I own it. Oh, man, that hurts.
Mr. Whiskey's.
All right.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico, Southern California.
All right, man. The world is my Harvey Weierman is, as you know, we've got Harvey at the convention. I was going to say the vacation. He's at the convention hall there in Philadelphia and is going to be covering the Democratic National Convention for us throughout the week. And, Harvey, I know that all of this Debbie Wasserman Schultz stuff has certainly got people hung up, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, it's got a lot of people hung up, and a very pleasant good day to you.
Yes, Harvey, how are you?
I'm very good, and General Shaw, I hope you're well.
Yes, I'm doing fine.
And Bud?
Yeah, great.
And Robert?
Yeah, I'm fine.
And who's the other guy?
Phil Henry.
I know, I'm kidding. So this Wasserman Schultz thing is a very interesting situation. Just got to clear it. Give me a little thing of hot water, and then give me some cold lemon juice, and then more hot water, and then I need a back rub. And
Harvey, we don't have a lot of time.
Sorry, just... this thing has got everybody by the nose, and it's kicking everyone in the ass. If Debbie Wasserman Schultz were a person, she'd be holding... Well, she is a person, so she'd be holding all of us by our one nose. If all of us were just one person, Debbie Wasserman Schultz...
If she were one person, she'd be kicking us in the ass.
Right, but holding our collective nose.
What do you think, Harvey? What is your read? I know that Phil and I had a bit of a disagreement. Phil thinks she should be out of there. I think that she's earned the right to stay there through the end of the week.
I got to tell you, I side with Phil on this one. I don't know why she's been allowed to hang around this city, let alone this convention hall, longer than it would take her to pack a bag and get her ass to the 12:15 train out of town.
What do you mean the train?
I think she has done such a disservice that she should only be allowed to go out of town on any conveyance that's featured in an old blues song. In other words, no jets. No, Debbie Wasserman Schultz should be allowed to pack a bag and to leave town on the 12:15. You know.
12:15 bus?
Train. Yeah, it could be a bus, I guess.
Why don't you just have her hop in a boxcar?
That would be great. As a matter of fact, you're going to think I'm kidding, Phil, but I mentioned this to Bill Pertain. You know Bill?
Yeah, is he still working with the national organization?
Yeah, and I said, oh, yeah, he is, but he's working with the national, the Democratic National Committee, but in very specific delegate relations roles. But I said to Bill, I said, why don't you just have her hop a boxcar? And he said, God damn it, if that isn't the greatest idea. So he left and came back to me, and he said, the big gals, and when I said big, you mean Hillary, he said, yep. She says she's not having it. She can't go for that. And I said, that's like that Holland Dope song, or what was the name of the guy?
Holland Oates?
Yeah, Holland Oates said, I can't go for that. Oh, no, no can do. You know?
Oh, yeah, I remember that song. It was by, that Holland Oates.
Yeah, and I said, Bill Pertain, and he looked at me like something was wrong with me and like I needed to sit down. And I said, you understand what I'm saying, don't you? And he said, not really. And I said, I can't go for that. And
okay, so where's this going now?
Harvey,
what do you mean, where's this going now? When Bill Pertain
said that she ought to hop a boxcar.
That's it, yeah. And he said, so he went off and asked Hillary.
So he actually asked Hillary Clinton, can we have Debbie Wasserman Schultz leave town on a boxcar?
Yes. 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 God.
All right, don't yell, man.
Well, how many times you want me to say it?
You're kidding me. She actually...
I'm going to come and kill you specifically, Dickman.
All right, all right, all right. So and Hillary said no.
And yeah, Hillary said no.
Of course she's going to say no. No one's going to take that seriously.
Let me tell you something, Margaret. What Debbie Wasserman Schultz has done to this party and in this particular week...
No one is going to force that woman to hop a boxcar and leave town that way.
I'm telling you, that's the only way she should leave town. What she's done to the Democratic.
You call them the Democratic Party. That's perfect.
Ha, ha, ha. That's real funny. To the Democratic Party.
Let me ask you something. How can a Marine be a Democrat?
What are you, some kind of an idiot? Happens all the time, pal. Let me tell you what. There was a time when most Marines were Democrats. It was called WW2O.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So here's the point that I'm making. When Debbie Wasserman Schultz stuck the giggy, right up the giggy with the Wawa brush on the Democratic Party, and then twisted it, and then pulled it out fast so that there was a trickle of blood, and...
All right, we understand. So she should have been forced out of town in a boxcar.
I think so. And this stuff of hanging around for a week, I don't understand that, Phil.
Well, that's the loyalty that Hillary Clinton has to her. I really don't think that Hillary Clinton understands the damage that woman has done. And you know, let's forget about the fact that it was a hack job. Forget about the fact that, yeah, there was, you know, the Russians or whoever the hell hacked into the computers. You could say, well, it's their fault. It's the fault of Ms. Schultz for putting that, for strategizing that way in the first place.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And I said to Bill Purdell, I said, you know, she strategized in such a way so as to cut Bernie Sanders. And you know how wildly popular Sanders was, and Purdell said, yes, I know. Bill sees my way on this, and I think he agrees with most people. I said, well, why don't you tell the big girl? So he goes off, and he talks to Hillary.
Is that what they're calling her, the big girl?
Yeah, they've got code words for her, Margaret. Don't...
Yeah, it's probably like a Secret Service thing or something.
Yeah, the Secret Service will have different...
Well, when you say they're calling her the big girl, boy, is that disrespectful.
Well, I don't know. I just... So he said, well, why don't you tell Hillary, some, you know, big lady one, or, you know, Bosco, I don't know what they call her, the big,
watch it.
I didn't say anything.
All right, so Bill Purdell went off and bothered her about another one.
Bothered her about what?
But did he not ask her if it's okay to send her out of town in a boxcar?
Oh, yeah. So Purdell, I forget the second thing it was. Does anybody remember?
No, I don't. I don't either.
All right, well, and there you go.
Well, he went off to ask Hillary Clinton something along the lines of, can Debbie Wasserman Schultz leave now?
That's it, yeah. I said, why is she staying for the week? So Purdell said, that's a good point. So he goes off, comes back about 30 seconds later, and says...
So Hillary Clinton was in the hall.
Hillary Clinton was what?
She was in the hall while you guys were talking?
No, she was in the hotel.
How can he come back 30 seconds later?
Because we were in the hotel. I mean, what is wrong with you, Henry?
I thought you said we were in...
I'm in the convention hall now, yeah.
You know, this is... I don't know how you do it, Phil.
Wait a minute. No. This isn't my fault. This is your fault. You guys said...
All right, Harvey, you're right. Okay, so he came back 30 seconds later.
30 seconds, and he said, Hillary said not only is she not sending her out of town tonight, she's going to stay all the way to Friday. Thank you very much for bringing that up, because now she's doubly committed to having her stay through Friday. And I said, so that's my fault. And Purdell said, you don't think I'm going to take that, you know, on my shoulders. So I guess it's my fault that she stayed until Friday.
No, there's a really good job you did there.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm a reporter. I'm asking questions.
All right, so you wanted her to go out of town on a boxcar, and you wanted her to stay, to leave right then and there. So Clinton obviously is reacting.
She's reacting very strenuously against these suggestions, and I don't blame her.
Well, let me ask you something, Margaret. You don't see what this woman's done.
I see the damage that's been done, but I also see the loyalty that Hillary has for her, and I will tell you this. At the end of the day, whatever Debbie Wasserman Schultz did or didn't do, it is nowhere near as destructive as what Donald Trump will represent to this entire country should that slob get elected president. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay! Yay!
Whatever. So,
all right, so what's on tap?
What do you mean, what's on tap?
What's coming up?
They got a bunch of the Miller Lite.
Not beer. What are you...
the stuff is coming up. Well, tomorrow, they're going to, you know, say the national anthem, or they're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, or some bullshit, excuse me, some stuff like that. And then a bunch of old guys like me will come in with the flag like they did with the Republicans. Some old guys that look like they, you know, are going to fall down. And then, you know, they'll get underway. But I don't really know who or what or is on tap. We'll wait till tomorrow.
All right. Harvey Wireman, thank you very much, buddy.
Yeah, well, you know what, Phil?
Harvey Wireman from Philadelphia.
Now, you know, the boxcar thing was beautiful.
I thought that is the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen in my life.
Seen?
I mean, heard of.
All right. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. There's a very interesting story here in the... I guess, what kind of pages would you call this? Is this the...
Yeah, kind of like, you know, entertainment.
Yeah, entertainment story. Chuck Woolery, who is the former... what did he host?
He hosted the dating game, didn't he?
Yeah, that's a Chuck Woolery. Who's he?
He was a game show host. I think it was... Or maybe it was the, I don't know what it was, but...
Chuck Woolery.
Yeah.
I thought it was Bob Eubank or whatever.
Not Bob Eubank, Bob Eubanks.
Yeah, that's it, Bob Eubanks.
Well, that Bob Eubanks had been associated with that show for a long time. I don't know what show it was, but Chuck Woolery was the dude. And anyway, he made a comment that Ivanka Trump looks better in what she does for a $160 dress is far more than what Hillary Clinton does for a $25,000 jacket, something like that. So we're going to find out from Mavis Leonard what that's all about.
Hey, wasn't she just on Friday?
Yes, but there's been a lot of popularity for Mavis. People want to hear her back, so we'll have her back on here in just a few seconds. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back.
Bosco Jeffries, downtown, and now in the Affingales, with suits, tuxedos, jackets, and pants. At Bosco Jeffries, you'll say, God damn, do I look fine. Bosco Jeffries has had every kind of shoe and hat since 1926. Shoes and hats you can only dream about. Shoes, hats, and pants that you'd only see in some kind of a nightmare, some sort of a hallucination. Hats, pants, shirts, trousers, and belts. Things that you can only imagine in a psychotic break. That's Bosco Jeffries, downtown. Bosco Jeffries, for the fine-fitted man.
This is Father James McQuarters, and on keyboards, of course, is Father Staley, inviting you to our Sunday services, the 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 o'clock Mass. Come to Catholic Mass and have your soul reinvigorated. Join us for the celebration. That's Catholic Mass, Belmar Academy. Let's listen to Father Staley right now on the keyboards. Really, really jams on that B3 Hammond. Go, man.
Yeah.
Yeah! Catholic Mass at Belmar Academy Sundays, 9, 10, 11, and noon.
And High Mass at 1.
Yeah!
Go, Father!
World famous Phil Hendry Show for the El Pacifico. Here is Phil Hendry.
We had Mavis Leonard with us on Friday's show, Robert.
Yeah, my aunt is back. She's always very, very popular. People really love listening to my aunt, and why not? I think she, you know, she, I guess you could say she's got a lot of common sense.
Yeah, your aunt is pretty interesting.
Can we turn to music? Thank you very much, bud.
What was that?
I don't know, but whatever it was, that's what it was. Getting Mavis Leonard on the phone here, and rolling for breakfast this morning. Mavis, how are you?
I'm very good. I thank you, Phil, having me back on your program. That's very nice of the people.
Donnell, we want to ask you about Chuck Woolery.
Yeah, I heard about Chuck Woolery, and I think someone should take Chuck Woolery and slap him and slap him and slap him and just keep slapping him until he's barely awake. And you just see Chuck Woolery's got a strand and he just had a strand of hair on his face. and he's being slapped over and over again.
Sounds to me like you've this almost like a fantasy of yours.
No, it's not a fantasy of mine, but I love Chuck. I love Chuck Woolery. I don't even know who Chuck Woolery is, but and I know he didn't mean no harm. He said that Ivanka Trump would look better in a $160 dress than Hillary Clinton looking at a $25,000 jacket. Well, that's all well and good, except Chuck Woolery is old enough to be her granddaddy.
Well, that was what a lot of women had a problem with.
Right. And I don't like the idea of Chuck Woolery putting his filthy, grubby Hollywood mitts all over that girl. She has a husband, and her father is Donald Trump, who I think is going to be the next president of the United States of America, if God wills it. But for Chuck Woolery to say a filthy thing like that...
Well, now, you know he didn't mean any harm.
I know he didn't mean any harm. I know he didn't mean any harm. Most men don't mean no harm, but they don't understand what they're saying. And it's trying to teach young men to be respectful of women. And for Woolery to come out and say that about the daughter of our next president of the United States, I would take Chuck Woolery by the back of the head, by the hair, by the back of the head, and just slap and slap and slap until his eyes begin to until his eyes begin to lid over.
Yeah.
And he is just, you know, he's insensible.
Yes, and a strand of hair is now flopping in his face.
That's correct, yeah. And only then will I know that Chuck Woolery has been dealt with in a way that I think is consistent with good, intelligent hygiene, good mental hygiene.
Well, you know, that's a physical assault.
Who gives a sweet hoy?
Hey, Mavis, or Ms. Leonard, I want to ask you, this is Bud Dickman.
How you doing? But when you coming back to the house, and we always enjoy having you over.
Robert has invited me over because he says I'm a slob.
You know more of a slob than Robert is.
You told me not to have him over.
I told you not to have your grubby slob friends over. I don't think that Bud is one of them. I think Bud is a very polite young man.
All right.
Yeah, see?
All right, now what's the question?
Oh, I want to know, Ms. Leonard, if you think that Chuck Woolery is, well, I mean...
All right, I think I know. You want to ask me if I thought that Chuck Woolery is a pervert.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask.
I think Chuck Woolery is virgin on pervert. I think when you make a comment about a woman that's a good 40 years younger than you, Chuck Woolery's got to be 80. He's got to be 80.
Oh, come on, he's not 80.
I think Chuck Woolery's 80. And I hate to think I've got to teach a man of 80 a lesson in manners, but if Chuck Woolery said that, even if he's 81, I'd grab him and slap him and slap him until two X's appear over his eyes.
Yes, and a strand of hair across his face.
That's right. That's exactly right, homeboy. Woo! I'm Mavis Sennett.
All right, Mavis, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. World-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Bizarre show today, but who am I kidding? When are they not? I want to remind you again to get your full-year backstage pass subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With a year subscription, you get all of the best of CD digital downloads for free, man. It's $150 value, and you get a $25 gift certificate from Amazon.com. It's all from us to say, aren't you just the greatest thing since sliced bread? We love you. We need you. We can't live without you. We'll see you guys tomorrow here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And don't forget to go out and make the world a lovely place, a place fit for man and beast, but mostly beast.
Yeah. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Yeah, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One.
I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah.